Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most entertaining, cool, and irreverent talk radio station, where you can say anything and everything you want to talk about and, you know, learn a lot here while you're on the couch. Find out more about you, some of the issues you may have coming up in your life. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about how to find happiness, how to find more prosperity. And I'm not necessarily talking about riches, guys, when I talk about prosperity. You know, when you think about the keys to finding happiness and prosperity, we're going to be talking about what you think they would be, and maybe tweaking it a little bit with my special author, who I'm going to bring up on the air in just a little bit. I want to invite you all, if you have any questions or comments, or you'd like to share some of your experiences live here, you can do so. You can call me, 323-203-0815. Or if you are shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can, of course, email me. Yeah, and that's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc@gmail. That's me right here, Dr. Michelle. So I invite you to reach out, ask questions, make comments. It's all good, because that's what we do here. So let me ask you guys something. When you think about those keys to finding happiness and prosperity, what do you believe that they would be? Right? Just think about that. Because, you know, we all have positive and negative things that happen to us in life. Sometimes it's going well with family and friends. We feel a belonging in the world. And sometimes, you know, we get a good job or feel like we're on the road to moving on to something better in our lives. But, you know, as a psychologist, most folks come to me with their problems. And they're either within themselves, you know, or with others. What has contributed to my unhappiness? Why am I so unhappy? You know? So one of the questions that I always ask patients is, what would make you feel better? I mean, what would really make you happy? In other words, what do those things do for you that you keep doing in your life? What do they mean to you? Well, today we're going to be talking about this with my guest, Sherry Sharifi Brown. She has a fascinating background and has studied and embraced various religions of the world and has come to some conclusions about how we can find the happiness and prosperity we're looking for in our lives. And it's by, and I'm just going to give you a little tease because we're going to find out more about it, little deeper things going on here for you today. She's sharing how we can embrace some of the commandments that are included in Christianity, Judaism, and the Muslim Quran. She brings folks together. And in this book that we're going to be talking about, which is amazing, it's a great read, it's a history book for you to learn about different religions, or the religions of Abraham, as we call them, and understand yourself and your relationship to how you grew up, what you were taught, and maybe some of the things that you have misconstrued along the way about finding happiness. So my special guest is going to talk about her upbringing, because, I mean, she really has had a fascinating life. She still is, you know, an amazing teacher, a writer, and so involved in helping the world become a better place to live. Sherry, by the way, let me just give you a little tease. She was born a Muslim in pre-revolutionary Persia, right? Remember when it was Persia? Then converted to Christianity and married into a Jewish American family. I mean, how, like, cool is that, that somebody like Sherry would get a taste of all those wonderful religions and then, you know, kind of meld them into some philosophies that she believes that will help us be happier in our lives. And the book we're talking about today is called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. And again, I have on my radio show live here with us today is Sherry Sharifi Brown. And again, she took quite a while to write this book. It's a marvelous read. And let's pull her up on the air. Sherry, are you with me there?
Yes.
Yay, there you are. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, what a great book. I mean, you really taught me a lot about the three religions, the main, you know, religions here in the world, and also about going much deeper, you know, the surface things in our lives. And so many religions, you know, really profess this, but I think we kind of skew it along the way. We get skewed along the way in our societies about what really happiness means and what finding prosperity, you know, means. Can you, first of all, share with the audience a little bit more about your background? Because you are an amazing scholar. I was so impressed.
Thank you, Michelle. I was, as you said, raised in Iran, and I went to a Catholic college in Vermont to study engineering. And after I got my degree in engineering, I went back to Iran and worked for the Shah of Iran on his project with Hughes Aircraft.
Wow.
And they sent me to Harvard to get a postgraduate in management, business management in engineering.
Wow.
Then revolution happened. So I was there during the Islamic Revolution. And I came back finally in 1983, and I have been here ever since. Now, about 26 years ago, when I was attending Christianity, I converted to Christianity because I could relate to Christ more.
Okay.
But when I was in the sessions with engineers in the city, downtown LA, I would go to the city hall and have Bible study for lunch hour sometimes, once a week.
I realized
that Christians, just like Muslims, they're saying that anybody who is not Christian is going to hell.
Right.
I was brought up hearing that. So I thought it didn't make sense to me. So I decided to study all the books. I started with Torah. And for the last 26 years, I have been reading a chapter of Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran every day.
My goodness.
So I realized that the similarities totally outweigh the differences between these books. They have all been hijacked, so to say.
Right.
The first 200 years after Christ died, his simple message was lost.
Yes.
Christians killed Christians. They would force people to convert to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
In Spain, they were deporting anyone who was not Christian. When I read the Quran, and I realized that certain things, a massive amount of misinformation about this religion.
Yes.
I kind of like to convey the fact that, firstly, I know that no Christians really read Quran, or no Muslim reads Bible, really.
Right.
It's almost like they think it's a sin to read other books, but if they do, they realize that the following points that Quran says. Number one, Muhammad said this is not a new religion. God recited Quran to Muhammad. He said that I sent you Moses with my Ten Commandments. You ignored him. You went astray. I sent you Jesus. You went astray. And now I'm sending you Muhammad with the same message. So what I did, I read every time I finished one publication, I would read different publications because I knew that And lots gets lost in translation.
Yes.
Besides the fact that these books were written centuries before printing was invented.
Right.
So everybody who couldn't read other person's handwriting, mm-hmm. they would improvise.
Right.
And sometimes purposefully they are very ambiguous about some of the translations because the person who was writing it was probably biased.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read, when I read all of these publications,
yeah.
I took out of it the common sense and what was common in all of these and never changed from one publication to the other was the commandments. 10 commandments of Moses.
Right.
2 commandments of Jesus, mm-hmm. love your God and love your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
and the 7 commandments of Muhammad.
Yes.
That's 19th commandment.
They're very similar.
Yes. The 19th commandment, I disposed of the redundancy.
Yes.
Like every one of them said, believe in one God.
Right.
Or, so I disposed of redundancies, and I came up with 7.
Okay.
Which all these 3 prophets said. And I realized that these 3 prophets are so, their message is so meshed together.
Yes.
That one could not do without the other two, 2 could not do without the other one. All 3 of them are basically the 3 cornerstones of the base of a pyramid.
Yes,
of Abrahamic land.
You know, exactly, Sherry. And I think a lot of, I don't think a lot of people understand how similar the commandments and the messages are within all of these 3 religions, how enmeshed they really are. And, you know, the Quran, of course, contains the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, I mean, people don't understand that, you know, really fully embrace. Yes, exactly.
Muhammad calls Christ a Muslim and Moses a Muslim simply because the word Islam in Arabic means total submission to the higher power.
Right.
He condemns the titles of Christianity and Judaism as religion, not as ethnicity, because he says that these are just words and titles that non-believers want to make it as if it's different religion.
Right, right.
Christ was Jewish after all. Jesus
yes.
Christ never said that Jews are going to come and kill me. He
right.
said sinners are going to come and kill me.
Right.
Just because they wanted to flourish and they wanted to title it as if it's a different different religion, and because of politics and power, they called it Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But Muhammad condemns these titles. I don't think that it should be so hard for people to call themselves Christian, atheist, mm-hmm. Buddhist, as long as they follow the commandments.
Right.
Which is the basic is the 7 commandments I came up with.
Right.
The rest,
yes, go ahead.
The rest is the branches of the tree.
Exactly.
So Jesus comes to simplify Moses' message.
Right.
Because most of them were no longer applicable because mm-hmm. of the time change.
Yes, exactly. I think you're so right about that, and I don't think a lot of people understand these things.
No.
By the way, folks, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today. She's the author of an amazing book. You want to learn about history and religions and also about finding happiness and prosperity. The book's called The 7 Commandments of Happiness and Prosperity. And my author on the air today is Sherry Sharifi Brown. It's a terrific read. It's very easy and comfortable to understand and teaches you so much about the 3, as we call them, religions of Abraham. Muslims, of course, all over the world. It's the largest religion in the world. And, of course, we have Christianity and Judaism, and it's kind of melding all of the commandments, which are so similar in the religions, which we don't, you know, this is a whole understanding that I think a lot of people need to know, is we are so similar in so many ways. And I think your book could help unify the world and a lot of unresolved and, Well, I would just say ignorance that's going on that people really don't understand. And that's not a criticism. It's just sometimes we are ignorant because we only hear what we are told and we don't read or do a lot of research.
And also, because Quran is written in literally, it's very complicated. It's like poetry. They don't understand. And
right.
I do believe most of these people that call themselves Muslim and do things that are exactly the opposite of the simple message of Muhammad is because they probably can't read, and therefore they listen to the leader.
Right.
And they implement whatever the leader says. Mm-hmm. Quran says, if you don't do Shabbat, do 5 times prayer.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Quran says, if you work all day and you can't do 5 time prayer, do your prayers at night. That's why I just I say that be in the prayer mode all the time.
Yes.
Muslims pray on Fridays. Jewish people pray on Saturdays. Christians pray on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a God for just the weekend.
Yeah, that's
you have
right.
to always be aware of His existence. Also, be aware for to be happy really, and follow that. One of the commandments of Muhammad, one of the most important commandments of Muhammad, after believing in one God, is to ward off evil. Whenever there is negativity, anger, jealousy, just stay away from it. If
right.
somebody is angry, don't let them transfer their disease to you.
Right.
Treat them like somebody who has a cold or a virus. Get away from them and walk away.
Exactly. It's so true. I think... Yes, go ahead.
I think if you follow this tenet of 7 commandments and don't get tangled up with, oh, I'm going to commit a sin if I drive on Saturdays. No, none of these acts, you can follow all of the rituals, which is nice, I think, in every religion. But not doing them is no longer going, it's not going to take you to hell. And
right.
implementing them is not going to necessarily take you to heaven if
yeah.
you go around and break another commandment.
Right.
It's important. Another thing Muhammad says in Quran, that if you don't commit the big sins, I will forgive you the small sins.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think or we're taught that every act we do, if we have a glass of wine, per Muhammad, we have committed a sin, it kind of distracts us. Therefore,
yes.
we can't be happy with the God inside us, because anything we do that we think is not right, if we get away with it with everybody, we never get away with it with the most important person, that their opinion is important, is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, your self-esteem gets boxed off, it peels off one by one, and you end up with low self-esteem, no matter how much money you have. When you don't have self-esteem, and deep down you don't think of yourself as a good person,
mm-hmm.
you are going to be unhappy. And you're much worse off than the person who has no money, and he has, he or she has a serene soul.
Yes.
And are happy and content. One
yes.
of the greatest lessons of Jesus was contentment. You have to be content and thank God for what you have.
Yes.
Not complain about what you don't have, because no matter how much money you desire, somebody always has more than you.
Well,
if
right.
you get there, you want to go to the next step.
Exactly.
So just be content with what you have and pray continuously, and you see how God will help you.
Right.
And back you up.
So it's really sort of... It all is very psychological as well. I mean,
yes.
you're talking about the mindset. You said pray continuously, always be in prayer mode, not just on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know,
yes.
it's have that within you. And
you
also,
can do Friday, yeah. Saturday. It's okay to go to church.
Oh, of course.
But they don't.
Sure.
They shouldn't think that alone is enough. You know, you have
right.
to be with, and just repeating words, and it's not going to you have to really understand and experience God. You know when God is within you, and when you experience Him.
Right.
When you do it right and you live a righteous life and you follow His commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Staying away from evil is very important, because most people deal with evil, with Satan, by not believing in Him or thinking He doesn't exist. No, He does exist. He has power. But God is more powerful. So the closer you get to God, the closer He gets to you. The further you get from evil, the further he gets from you.
So when you talk about Satan, Sherry, you're talking about, evil in general. It's not an entity that's there waiting to come and get you, or it tries to snare us into doing evil things to hurt others. Is that what you're saying?
The desires of heart, when you to become really financially prosperous, and I have experienced that, the first condition is to stop desiring it. That's satanic. To do scheme, to cheat other people. Have you ever seen anyone that has borrowed money from you in the past become 30 years later, they're still borrowing money?
Oh, yes.
They never ever become successful.
Right.
So you have to be righteous. That's when God will help you.
Yes.
He would listen to your prayers, believe me, if you do it wholeheartedly.
Right. And wholeheartedly, of course, I mean, you're talking about, really sort of being a good human and not cheating others or lying to others, hurting others.
No.
And these are some
Even
of the...
Even charitable giver, one of my commandments is charitable giver. People always think that giving is money. No, give with your time. Wipe somebody's tear, put a smile on an old person that is lonely and nobody ever goes to bothers to go see them. These are all part of giving.
Exactly. And I'd like to talk about some of the other seven commandments that you share here in the book, the seven commandments for happiness and prosperity. And guys, in case you just tuned in here, you can call us if you'd like, if you have questions, or I encourage you to email me. I've got some emails coming in already, questions about religion, but I'd rather just kind of continue on with our journey, and then I'll bring up some of these questions, guys, I promise. Okay, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And my special guest today, of course, is Sherry Sharifi Brown. She's authored this book. She has an amazing background. What an incredible group of experiences that you've had in your life and continue to have, and of course to share with everybody out there in the audience. I wanted to get to those seven commandments rather, and you said that you just sort of simplified them, because some of some of them are redundant. So, and I agree. I mean, they're saying basically the same thing. But something that fascinated me when I was reading your book in the beginning, you talk about your frightful experiences during the Iranian Revolution. So can you, would you mind sharing some of those?
I could write a book only for all the harassment and all the insults.
Yeah.
When the Iranian Revolution happened was the strangest thing.
Yes.
Because right before that, Americans were building with the Shah a military base in the border of Russia, because Russia had Cuba.
Right.
So Carter comes, and without having any knowledge of the culture of the people, on a whim, I have no idea why, overthrowing him and putting somebody that everyone knows, the reason why Khomeini was exiled from Iran was because he was enemy of America.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything against the Shah. He was always saying that Shah is the puppet of America.
Ah.
Now, why would we put somebody like him, after we have made a military base for ourselves,
right?
Why would we put an enemy in charge?
Right.
That's because we have no knowledge. Getting rid of all of these dictators, we just opened the way for ISIS.
Right.
We had no plans to who we replace them with. We just walked in to these countries, overthrew those dictators if they were bad with their own people. Now we see that these people really are not ready for democracy.
Yes.
Now we have made the Middle East like a rudderless ship in a fog.
Hmm.
There is nobody to guide them, and we opened, if those dictators were running these countries, the internet of the whole country would be shut off because ISIS could not recruit all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, I am totally against calling these people Muslim or jihadist, because the word jihad is way past obsolescence, because it's a defensive act over people who don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Almost everybody believes in God now. So they call themselves Islam when there is nothing Islamic about what they do.
Yes.
Right after Muhammad died, instead of, he wanted his nephew to be, to succeed him, they hijacked Abu Bakr, who was from Bani Umayyad, whom Muhammad came in Quran said, these are violent people, you come and straighten. No, they hijacked it right after he died. Then, right after he died, there were Sunnis, become five different sects of Sunnis.
Right.
Three different sects of Shiites. And Sunnis have always been killing each other over Syria and Iraq, and they wanted to make Islamic State of Iraq and Syria.
Right.
Then they got greedier, more greedy, and they called it themselves, they want Levant, the whole, they don't want just Syria, they want all of the region of Levant, so they call themselves ISIL.
Uh-huh.
I don't think these people are Islamic. I don't think they're jihadist.
Right.
There's not such a thing as ISIL, ISIS, or Islamic jihadists. These are just non-believers. I think it's really blasphemous to tarnish the word of Islam and Muhammad the way they do. Just because they call themselves Muslim,
right,
that doesn't make them Muslim.
Right.
If I call myself an empress, I'm not going to be an empress. You
right.
should stop calling them Muslim.
Right.
We should have more knowledge about Islam and what Quran says.
Yes.
This only shows our lack of knowledge to
right.
think that these people are Muslim.
Yes, and that's why I'm bringing, you know, your book to the airwaves here internationally, so you can, you know, point some of the understanding of the different religions and how similar they really are, and really what the definitions of Muslims are, and what the practices are, and really help people understand. And again, instead of hearing a lot of what the media says out there and the negative press and associating, you know, the terrorist groups with the religion
with Islam,
in itself.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, because Muhammad said you can't kill a virgin, they raped the girl the night before they want to hang her.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a religion? What kind of a... This is not Islam. This is not Muhammad's message.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So let's check out some of the commandments that you have sort of condensed and really tell people to practice, because they will bring you more happiness and they will, you know, fill you up inside. So you say, believe in the only God and pray. And it's not, again, the only God. My God is this, and my God is this idol, and my God, and
only
you're all
God.
Yeah, it's, we all have the same higher source. Basically, is what you're saying.
Yes, so. And you know, 5,000 years ago, King Cyrus had a Bill of Rights that is in the British Museum now on a clay tablet that said the higher, spoke about higher power.
Right, exactly. How, you know, I was always curious when I was reading your book, how, you know, there are so many people who aren't Christians, Jews, or Muslims who identify themselves as atheists, but who would really like to know more about how to achieve happiness and prosperity themselves. So how can atheists really apply these commandments into their lives?
Well, you know, if they are living a righteous life, it's really their problem to be so arrogant to think that God, technology... we have so improved that we can prove God by calculation. They don't want to believe in something that is not proven. So that's a different story. But if they want to lead a righteous life, nobody is really going to should bother another person for their belief. They could be Buddhists. Buddha was an enlightened person.
Yes.
These are all people. Muhammad was a person, and Moses was a person, and we're all children of God.
Right.
So all these misunderstandings of God exists, God doesn't exist, that's really something that we should have, not only educate our own people, but I believe that people that are killing these innocent people, I believe that some of them really think that this is the way to go to heaven.
Right.
They should be educated that, no, the people they're killing per Quran, they are the martyrs, not them.
Right.
They're
right.
Killers. They're common thugs and serial killers, as they call them.
Yes.
So I think they don't even know themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Exactly. And, you know, you say in your book that, you know, it's just practicing the commandment, practicing the premises of basically being good people. And, it has nothing to do with, you know, God will punish you to an atheist. You've got to understand that it's your heart, it's your life, it's your connection with these higher vibrating, if you wish, thoughts. You know, which don't include, you know, hatred, killing, murder, pride,
hatred is,
anger.
Is,
yeah.
That's when you're satanic.
Yeah.
You have to get away from hatred and jealousy.
Yeah.
And all this ugly competition. Just be happy with yourself.
Yes.
Stop thinking about what's out there. That what's out there is all temporary, and it's not going to really make you happy. It's what's inside your heart that makes you happy.
It is.
And first and foremost, you have to be happy with your own actions. You have to be proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you're a housekeeper or if you're a queen, you to be proud of you and your actions.
That's beautifully said, Sherry, you know, because so many people who I talk to, you know, are always unhappy with themselves, and they think they should be so accomplished so that others can look at them with admiration, and they feel so down on themselves. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel good about themselves because
right.
they haven't accomplished. And I say, it's about you loving you and not judging yourself, with what the world says or what media says you should be.
Exactly. Everybody wants people to praise them. Everybody is boasting. The ego is number one enemy. You
right.
have to let go of your ego and think that most people are, in most important ways, all people are equal.
Right.
Your
right.
big bank account is not making you a better person.
Right. It's not. It's making our lives simpler, possibly. But then...
Give away what you don't need. Instead
yes.
of being greedy and wanting more. I mean, that's not... That is... ungodly,
right?
That greedy,
right. And you, and again, a lot of it, what you're saying, and I think it's really cool about you, is you're not judging people at all. You're just explaining. Look, guys, this is a simple way of putting it. You follow certain commandments. You live your life by, you know, rules that are going to be loving and, I guess, God-like, if you may say. You're going to be a happier person. We don't cease from being human. we still have minds and emotions, and you know, we want to go in the wrong direction sometimes. And there's, you know, our world is all about, again, we talked about the media, advertisers, promoting materialism and images of sex and greed and, you know,
right.
war and hate and Wall Street promoting profit over people and,
oh, yes,
you know, exactly. the movies, of course, violence and sex and manipulation and, you know, the whole thing. And there's it's about commerce. It's about the economy, making money and all that. I get that.
Right.
But it's us buying into these messages.
And even Solomon, with all his might and glory and wealth, he says this world is nothing, it's a temporary thing, and it's all vanity.
Yes.
So we have to really let go of this worldly things. We are so distracted by everything other than, instead of sitting and meditating and see how joyous it is.
Yes.
God.
And you've probably studied the Course in Miracles as well, and the similar word that they use is the ego. You know, that not the Freudian ego, but the ego gets in the way.
Yes.
The ego of constantly needing to consume to fill ourselves up from out there. And it's, again, it's within. It comes within.
Yes.
You know.
You know, I see people want to go to from this place to that place to make themselves happy. No.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be happy. If you're happy with yourself and the God within you, no matter where you are, you're content and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And happiness, if you're happy, that begets happiness.
Right.
You are better in your business negotiations, you're better in your job interviews, you're more successful with your social life, and people would like you more.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And it is. It's what you put out, the old precipice. What you put out is what you get back.
Exactly.
You know, the old principles
but
of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's easier to be unhappy and blame your childhood, blame your mother, blame this person, blame your luck, blame God.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to work on yourself and your happiness and see what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking that I want something the other person has. Because if you get that, then you want something that another person has, which is more. You have to be content with anything God has given you. And you have to thank him. The only thing that God wants from us is to recognize him and thank him for what he's given us. Nothing else.
Yes.
And it's so easy to do. It's so hard for some people, impossible for other people.
Yes.
I don't really understand why. If you want to be happy, you want to have a power like God behind you.
Mm, it's so true. And again, you can be, if you embrace the concepts of just, you know, the commandments of being a good person in your heart and having that strength and love that which you are, you can also be an atheist and understand that. You don't have to, you know, and again, you're not judging anyone.
You have to respect other
religions.
That's the bottom
true.
Line. You cannot put other religions down. People that have been enlightened, like Yogi Nanda, like Baha'u'llah, those were people that were enlightened.
Yes, they
prophets, were. There were 124,000 prophets.
Mm.
Only three of them brought the message. They were messengers and brought the message of God to us.
Mm.
And that's Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad.
And
that's why Muhammad is called the seal of the prophet, because he completed. That's why Quran is called the final testament.
Yes.
Because there is really nothing else that God wants us to do. He said everything he wants us to do in these three scriptures.
Yes, and like I mentioned earlier, you know, it includes the first, the Old Testament, and of course, the New Testament. So, I mean, the Quran has all this information in there, and again, it's not anti- Christianity, not anti-Judaism. Exactly.
It's almost based upon Christianity and Judaism.
Yeah.
And it talks... Major parts of Quran is about Christ and Moses.
Mm-hmm. And I really do encourage you guys out there listening who don't understand a lot about different religions. And, you know, I'm not trying to convert you. I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to say anything is the right way. Or it's just learning through history. This book... By Sherry Sharifi Brown. It's called The Seven Commandments of Happiness and Prosperity. It is sort of, it rolls out as a history book of religions and how they all came together, how they moved apart, and some of the false beliefs that we have. It also combines the Ten Commandments that are within all three of the same religions, but we call them the religions of Abraham. You know, these are things to live by. Something that always perplexed me, Sherry, and this is something I hear a lot from patients, is their anger towards people who have hurt them. They're so angry, they don't know how to deal with this anger, and they want to get revenge. So you also suggest that we follow the commandment not to take revenge. And, you know, we all read about the concept of an eye for an eye, right? But how can we turn the other cheek to people who've really hurt us and murderers for that matter? Yeah.
In the Old Testament, it says that it, or I'm not sure if it's Quran or Old Testament. I, you know, they're so alike. Sometimes I don't even realize which one I'm reading.
Yeah.
It says that if you hate your enemy, by the same measure, it uses the word meet, meaning meter, measure.
Mm-hmm.
That by the same measure, he's going to be forgiven. His sins towards you is going to be forgiven. Mm. So in order for your enemy to get the maximum punishment, you have to forgive him. Because every time you hate him and you seek revenge, you're deducting from his sin.
Right.
That's right. Why Jesus said, like your enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason why Jesus said, turn the other cheek, was because in the Romans, per Roman law, if you strike someone and they don't strike you back and you strike them again, they are condemned.
Mm. Okay.
He said to be shrewd in business, meaning don't cheat, but don't let anyone cheat you either.
And that, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that that's what was conveyed. You know, it's
right.
Just completely construed.
Right.
You also talked about a little bit earlier that most everybody can agree with the fifth commandment you talk about, which is to be a charitable giver. So
yeah.
That is so important to our happiness and prosperity, because that's what it comes down to, right?
That's right. And it's not really about money. It's about giving. Giving is, you can give in a lot of ways. Mother Teresa gave her life.
Right.
Warren Buffett gave his money, you know, but then you have to do it from the bottom of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it just because you want to show off to other people. That takes away from your charity,
right?
Because you are seeking other people's approval rather than God.
Yes.
Yourself.
Right. So true. I wanted to share something with you that just kind of, you know, it came up for me when I was reading your book. In your sixth commandment, you emphasize that we honor our parents and follow Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. And I've had patients come in and ask me things like, you know, I want to be a good religious person. I want to be a person that follows the commandments. But, you know, my parents brutally abused me. I was horribly abused. And that's why I'm coming here on your couch, because I have a lot of problems from that. And what I tell them, and you tell me if I'm on the right track here, you know, with your, you know, knowledge, is I say to them to it's not that you have to honor them for beating you, honor them for, you know, it's to understand where they were coming from and why they did what they did, from their possible abusive past, why they were hurt as people, what they did. It's not that you have to be quiet and take the abuse and the pain, right?
Yes, and it's really, I say that it's not up to you if they are not worthy of honor. Mm-hmm. But honoring is, you can honor them different ways. Mm. For instance, I've been asked about the fact that, you know, some fathers sexually abuse the child.
Yes.
So I'm saying that instead of revenging as a means of revenging your father becoming a porno star or prostitute, you have to become successful.
Yes.
This way he's honored to be your father, then you don't have to put him to have him in your life.
Right.
But this is how you honor them. This is how you revenge, by becoming successful.
Right.
Not by anger, not by becoming shaming them, because you're shaming yourself first and you're disobeying and the commandments of honoring parents.
You know, that is beautifully said, Sherry. I've had, you know, people come to me and say, I was terribly abused, but I was humiliated. I was told I would never be anything in life, that I was a loser, I was stupid. And, you know, of course, I tell them that their parents, whoever put this upon them, were projecting their own self-hate onto you. But they've said to me, but my revenge, I am a successful, happy person who lives life well, and I give to other people. I have a nice family and that I've created myself, or I have a nice partner who I have found, and I just am happy with my friends, and I have a loving group around me. Unfortunately, my family wasn't too loving, but I've created my own loving family with friends and my mate or whoever, and this is my revenge. So that's basically what you're saying.
Yes, and also when you're a child, because you're dependent on your parents, they're like God to you. So if they tell you that you're going to be nothing or you're a loser, you have to realize when you grow up, realize that they're not necessarily smarter than you. You thought they were because you depended on them and you were a child. Now you're grown up. You're your own person. You can decide if you are a loser or not. Don't think about them.
No, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. And unfortunately, you know, that if everybody sort of really embraced that, I wouldn't really have a job. But I mean, but you know, it's really true. It's you know, understanding that you can create your own life and embrace
the author of your own choices.
That's right. And you can embrace the higher power within yourself.
Exactly.
You know.
You have to discover it because, you know, there's flesh and then there's soul and there's spirit. If you transcend the environment and your flesh, you get into the soul, which is the God inside you. And if you stay clinched to that long enough, you become connected to the spirit.
Spirit, and I know you do believe in an afterlife, and a lot of people, we all want to know about the hereafter, and you know, we all want to believe that there is something else, especially those who've been born into poverty or pain, and I know you are an avid believer of that.
Yes, and you know, because I'm a mathematician, I started really paying attention to some of the numerological aspects.
Yes.
And I know this, an Egyptian doctor wrote a book proving that Quran is based on number 19, the whole structure of Quran, which he was beheaded in in a mosque in Arizona by Wahhabi Sunni.
Oh my gosh.
Because they called him blasphemous.
Yes.
But because of that, that scientist part of me know that everything has to be balanced in the universe.
Yes.
There is a payment for your deeds, good or bad. And that's going to be this life. If you're good, it starts from this life. Otherwise, afterlife. You cannot think that this is all there is. There is an afterlife.
Right.
And their soul, your flesh dies. I'd like to ask some people who think this is all it is. I want to know what they think. What happens to your soul and spirit when you die?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's really true. And again, folks, you know, there's researching this, so much scientific evidence, and in physics and engineering, just like, you know, Sherry is an expert. She's a master at these things.
Thank you.
It's true. And of course, you know, you're a scholar in religion as well. There's so many things that we need to learn about our world and who we are. And it is. It's about balance in the universe. That's what science is about. It's so well said.
Everything.
Yeah. Listen, it's about that time. Speaking about balance, boy, things go so fast when you're having a good time. But
Are we out of town?
Yeah, we are. Sherry, what's the best way that people can get your book and find out more about you?
Well, the sevencommandments.com is the book's website, and it's also on amazon.com.
Great. That's the best way. You're an amazing lady, and thank you so much for being here to share all of your knowledge, your help, and you know, your heartfelt faith with everyone.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Great.
Oh, you're great, Sherry. Again, Sherry Sharifi Brown, author of The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Check it out, guys. It's a great read. Have a lovely day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right, Sherry. Bye-bye now. All right, guys. Again, the book is terrific. And what's going to happen is I'm going to have all this information up in the archives tomorrow. So you can check out the show. You can replay, download if you like. All my shows are on iTunes for free on the podcast On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Thanks for listening, everybody. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for everybody else. That's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening. Next week, another wonderful show, trying to square away what is going on within you and how to get more stable and happier in your life. Other ideas for you from an excellent author. Me. Bye-bye, guys.